You are Locked On Vols, your daily Tennessee Volunteers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Vols, your team every day. My name is Josh Ward. Thanks for being here today. A lot of football to cover here on the show as we continue to transition out of the spring. There are still several takeaways from having seen Tennessee this past Saturday at the spring game and covering all the topics surrounding Tennessee's football team now that the next period of the offseason is here. On today's show, you will hear from Jarrett Garantano as well as quarterbacks coach Chris Winkie in the first segment of the show talking about Jarrett's development, Jarrett's understanding of the offense, which is different. How different is it? Jarrett answers that question here in the first segment of the show, as he is now on his fourth offensive coordinator in 4 years at Tennessee, also fourth different quarterbacks coach at Tennessee since he arrived in Knoxville. So that's coming up here in the first segment, talking about Garantano's development. In the second segment, hear from Tennessee defensive line coach Tracy Rocker, talking about needing more players to emerge for that side of the ball, and Jeremy Pruitt talking about guys' pass rush ability. There were some defensive linemen who had some nice days on Saturday. Now you can do the back and forth. Well, that's not good for Tennessee's offensive line if Tennessee's defensive line has a good day. But we'll focus on the defensive side of the ball in the second segment of the show. And then in segment number three, there are a number of items to kind of catch you up on, including Tennessee basketball, Tennessee's basketball coaches, Rick Barnes and new assistant Kim English, scheduled to meet with the media, plus an updated mock draft with two Tennessee basketball players in the first round. All of that coming up right here on Locked On Vols, your team every day, and you can find the show 5 days a week on the new Himalaya app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, the third-party apps, and your smart speaker. It's Locked On Vols, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. A big part of the conversation this spring has been the arrival of Jim Chaney as the offensive coordinator. And also part of that has included Chris Winkie shifting from running backs coach to quarterbacks coach. So if you think about it, with Jarrett Garantano, he is now on his fourth offensive coordinator and fourth different quarterbacks coach. There are two different people in this case. Jim Chaney will be very involved with what Tennessee's quarterbacks are doing for sure. But for Jarrett, he has learned under a number of different systems. And you know, something Jim Chaney said a couple of weeks ago is that when you deal with a lot of different coaches, coaching changes, different systems, different terminology, that that can be something that negatively affects a quarterback. According to Jim Chaney, that has not been a problem with Garantano. If anything, maybe he has looked at it as a positive to learn different thoughts, get different ideas about how to play quarterback, how to run an offense from different coaches. And I think now Jarrett Garantano has the best offensive coordinator he's had since he's been at Tennessee. And, you know, we'll see with Chris Winkie. This is a big opportunity for him, I think, as well, to be a quarterback's coach at Tennessee after last year coaching the running backs. But for Garantano, it's maybe overall been a positive to learn a new system. And again, in this one, I think he can learn a lot. Garantano did talk after the spring game on Saturday about how comfortable he is and also how different things are. But here's Garantano talking about his comfort level after 15 practices working with Jim Chaney.
I feel pretty comfortable, to be honest. I think that, once again, there's a lot of room to improve, and there's a lot of room for me over the summer, the next couple of months, to really master it. Just being able to stay here in May with a couple of guys and get down to offense and continue to work with the coaches. Now it's voluntarily, so I have to go up there and ask if it's okay or whatever. But just being able to do that stuff on my own, there's a lot of film on the different plays that we ran during the spring, so there's some cut-ups that I'm able to look at and work through them a little bit.
Is it a lot different?
I think so. The terminology's definitely different, but I think the way that Coach Chaney calls plays is different. We're more focused on explosive plays. We want to be able to get the ball up and down and those type of things. We want explosives in the run game and the pass game.
Well, you like hearing that if you're a Tennessee fan, probably. Who doesn't like hearing about explosive offensive play? And we've talked a lot about Jim Chaney, his ability to get different guys involved. I need to bring back part of the conversation I had with Jacob Carter, I think, sometime soon. Jacob played wide receiver at Tennessee when Jim Chaney was the offensive coordinator previously, and he talked about Chaney's ability to get guys in the right position. So using Josh Palmer's skill set, using Juwan Jennings' skill set, getting the ball quickly to Ty Chandler out of the backfield. All of those things are going to matter within the offense, including Jarrett Garantano's ability to understand where to go with the football and what they're doing before the ball is snapped. I think Garantano has a better understanding of what he's supposed to do, what his role is within the offense, why things go well or don't on the field when he was talking about plays on Saturday. I think he could have a better feel for what went right and what went wrong. That comes with maturity, with understanding, with learning. And that's not to say that Garantano is all the way there. He's not. I'll bet Garantano was as hard on himself with the way he played in the spring game as anyone. Now, there might have been some moments where the coaches were harder on him than he was, but I don't think that Garantano has any issue with self-evaluation and self-criticism. I think that's been part of his growth, and it's probably easier for him to do now than his first or second years, for his first and second year at Tennessee. I'd say early on, Garantano was maybe a little overconfident in his ability because he is talented. He does have a nice skill set, but he didn't know everything. Maybe early on, he didn't know much. So Garantano, I think, has matured and has a better idea of what he's supposed to do. This is what Chris Winkie said last week when he met with the media. New Tennessee quarterbacks coach, Chris Winkie, again, coached the running backs last year, but talking about Jarrett Garantano's growth and development and what it's been like working with Jarrett this spring. Here's Chris Winkie.
Well, I think it's any time you utilize the spring to, one, hopefully become more fundamentally sound, right, while you're learning a new system. And I think with him, it's really piecing everything together, being able to get the ball out of his hands, make good decisions, good starting point with his eyes, play with a sense of urgency. I always talk about playing fast, not in a hurry. And that's really what you want your quarterback to be able to do. And it's always tough, like I said, learning a new offense. He has made progress. He understands what we're doing. I'm really working on the total body of what he's trying to do to play at a high level at this position.
Have you talked a lot with him about his leadership?
Yeah, I think it's important that the quarterback has great leadership skills. And he's been around, played a lot of ball for us. We'll continue to lean on him as a leader of this football team. And that's comes with the territory. And I think he understands that, knows that, and he is growing and maturing as we move forward through the spring.
Quarterbacks coach Chris Winkie talking about Tennessee quarterback Jarrett Garantano. I think over the last year or two, fans have developed pretty strong opinions on Garantano. That's typically how it goes with a quarterback at a major program. So right now, if you don't think much of Jarrett Garantano, then you're probably in the position of, hey, you got to go prove it to me. And I think that's fine. If you are a believer in Jarrett Garantano, then your confidence level's probably pretty high that he'll play well this season. I think he can at least be a good, solid quarterback that Tennessee can win with. I think in that Auburn game, Garantano showed that he can make plays to win games. In the Kentucky game, the way he stepped up and delivered the ball, there's a little bit of fortune that came with it, but he delivered the ball to Marquez Callaway in kind of a knockout punch form to go into the half. And of course, Tennessee went on and beat the Wildcats that Saturday. Tennessee just needs more of that. And Monday's show covered the offensive line. That's going to be a factor. But I think all of that, all of the qualities you look for in a quarterback, the playmaking ability, the understanding, pre-snap, everything that is required. I think there's maybe going to be a little more freedom for Garantano there. And then leadership. I think Garantano has more respect from his teammates than he did this time a year ago. This time a year ago, I think a lot of them wondered, okay, he's probably the guy at quarterback, but can he really go out there and play? And the way that he hung in there and took punishment, took hits, got back up, tried to play through pain and injuries, I think that helped Garantano earn respect of his teammates a year ago. I still don't think it's really been talked about, and maybe never will be, how hurt Garantano was through the season last year. I think he was banged up really head to toe last year. So Garantano still has a lot to work on this offseason, needs to be better. The offense had a slow start, slow out of the gates, and really wasn't until the end of the second quarter on Saturday when the Vols' first-team offense got things going in big SEC games against Florida, Georgia, Alabama, heck, Missouri, South Carolina, Mississippi State. Good luck to Tennessee if it gets out to a slow start on offense. If it's playing catch-up, hey, maybe it can come back and win. I wouldn't recommend that route. I would say get some points on the board early, give yourself a chance to play four good quarters of football on offense. And if you do that, you can win some games in the SEC this year. If Tennessee's trying to play from behind, well, teams on the other side of the ball are going to know that. They're going to come after Garantano. That's not what you're looking for. Coming up next on Locked On Vols, I'll switch to the defensive side. Tennessee's defensive line will be a big talking point this offseason. Tracy Rocker, the defensive line coach, will tell you what he needs from his unit this year, and Jeremy Pruitt talks about their pass rushing ability. Coming up next on Locked On Vols, and you can find Locked On Vols every day on the Himalaya app. It's a new app that has all kinds of options for you, including a personally curated playlist, and they have new features every day. You can download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Vols. So with the defensive line, it's probably not going to get as much attention this offseason as the offensive line, but man, it's going to matter and really play an important role with how good Tennessee's football team can be this year. I thought last year during the season, one mistake was that Tennessee didn't rotate its defensive linemen enough. Tennessee really relied on, for a lot of the year, four seniors: Shy Tuttle, Kyle Phillips, Alexis Johnson, and Paul Bain. Others played during the season. Emmett Gooden played some. John Mincy played some. Matthew Butler here and there. But for the most part, it was those four seniors. And what does that mean now? Well, those four guys are gone. You have to replace all of them. And now we're talking about a defensive line that is not quite as experienced. Well, last week, Tracy Rocker said that Matthew Butler was a player who has stood out to him this spring. That's a good sign for Tennessee. The transfer of Aubrey Solomon is positive for Tennessee, but really for this year, only if he is granted eligibility and able to play right away. Right now, he's waiting on that waiver from the NCAA, so we don't know. Matthew Butler emerging. Aubrey Solomon, if he's ready to go, that helps. Emmett Gooden is a player that I think Tennessee believes it's going to be able to count on, and it's going to have to go beyond that. This is what Tracy Rocker said when he was asked about the defensive line and what he needs from the group, the entire defensive line.
I think it's going to have to be a group effort. You know, I did not like the part that we had to lean on those three seniors all last year, but we did. And you was hoping that the other guys, you know, a couple of guys did come along and as we went along. But, you know, everybody's going to have to participate at every position here, every position. Everybody's going to have to participate in some form or fashion.
So expect more players to be counted on. Part of that could be because there aren't just two or three guys that stand out that – will help lead the way. We might get to that point. I do think the conversation begins with Emmett Gooden, Aubrey Solomon, Matthew Butler. If you look at Saturday, Gooden had three tackles. Solomon had three tackles. Butler had two tackles. He was credited with a sack and a tackle for loss there. You know, those are positive signs for Tennessee. Now, with that conversation came Tennessee's offensive line because, again, the Vols are going up against themselves there, and if the offensive line is struggling, the defensive line might not get as much credit. And I don't know that Jeremy Pruitt was able to offer up a great answer, but he was asked about the defensive line and the pass rush that Tennessee showed on Saturday. What did Jeremy Pruitt make of it? Here's his answer to Wes Rucker's question.
I'm trying to help coach the defense, so sometimes I'm not the best evaluator of the offensive line as we're going out there. I tend to notice if a defensive back doesn't play with the right technique as opposed to how good the left guard's playing. So, but I do think we push the pocket. Lots of times being a good pass rusher is just being situational football, right? Awareness, what's the down and distance? Where's the back at in the formation? What's the offensive lineman's stances? I mean, there's lots of telltale signs, and most anybody, if they just look at those things, they'll give themselves a chance. Now, if you don't, it's like driving down the street with your eyes shut. So, but I think we're improving, you know, in that area. I mean, hey, you look at our defensive line, they ain't played much football, right? So there's only one way to go. I mean, so if they'll work hard and play hard, you know, to me, being a good defensive lineman is knowing what to do and playing your tail off, you know. Is there some technique in there? Absolutely. Okay. But if you don't play with a motor, it's hard to have success playing defensive line.
So there's one idea of what Jeremy Pruitt's going to look for in Tracy Rocker, and that's going to be effort. And I think that as the spring has gone along, that's been there. If you go to practice, and I don't see a lot of practice, the media is able to see typically 2 to 3 periods of practice when we're there. But one thing that is very easy to do is find Tracy Rocker. And that is whether your eyes are open or closed, because you can hear Tracy Rocker. He is loud, he is animated,
and he pushes his defensive linemen to work hard in practice, and I think that they have responded. Now, again, do they have any all-SEC defensive linemen? I can't say yes to that. I don't think Tracy Rocker would say yes to that. But they do have some guys that are talented. They do have some good athletes. Latrell Bumpus is a guy that's moved over there to the defensive line after having spent his first couple of years mostly at tight end. He's actually bounced around a couple of times. But you know, he's a guy that if he can develop, if John Mincy is ready to play at the level I think Tennessee's coaches believe he can play at, Kingston Harris, Karak Garland, Savion Williams coming in this summer, to go along with some of the other names we've already talked about that Tennessee's coaches seem pretty confident in, then I think Tennessee can have a good defensive line group this year. I also threw about, what, four or five ifs at you, and it's very easy to say, well, Josh, if this happens, if that happens, sure, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. Is it really going to all work out for Tennessee's defensive line this year? And the answer is probably no. I mean, not realistically. Are they really going to have all seven, eight, nine guys develop into what they expect to be? Not realistically. But you know, going into the spring, I think we were saying, all right, who are three or four guys that you can count on? And if they already have confidence in three to five guys and then Savion Williams or Darrell Middleton is ready to play, again, the Solomon transfer waiver, that's huge for Tennessee. If he can get cleared and play right away, then I think Tennessee's coaches will feel a lot better about the defensive line. If Solomon can't play this year, well, that's a big hit. It helps you long-term because he would still have 2 years of eligibility remaining in 2020 and 21, but Tennessee would love to have Solomon able to play right now. He's been at Michigan the last 2 years. He's been in a major program. Tracy Rocker knows Solomon well. Rocker recruited Solomon in high school, so they're familiar with his skill set. A lot of the guys on the staff are, including Jeremy Pruitt. So if they can have him ready to go, big boost. If not, well, they've got to figure some things out and puts a little more pressure on Savion Williams and Darrell Middleton to be ready to go. It's a position group where it probably is not going to get a lot of praise and there aren't going to be big-time statistics that stand out, but it's one of the most important aspects of Tennessee's football team. The offensive and defensive lines are two of the bigger question marks right now and will be two of the most important aspects of the team if the Vols are going to have any success this fall. So we'll be talking about it a lot this offseason, but interesting comments from Tracy Rocker saying he would have liked to have rotated more last year and that they will plan to do that this season. That means more players need to be ready to go. Before we go here on Locked On Vols, coming up in the final segment, I'll get you some notes on Tennessee basketball. We'll hear from Rick Barnes later today, as well as his newest assistant coach. There's a coach who's back in the SEC. I think it's caught a lot of people off guard. Also, there's a basketball recruit who has said something that might tell us about Tennessee's roster this upcoming year. I'll get to all of that in the final segment of Locked On Vols, which is here 5 days a week. If you have time to rate and review the show, please do so and keep spreading the word. Tell friends and family, anybody who might be interested about the Daily Tennessee podcast about Locked On Vols. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. So Tennessee football is going to get a lot of our attention here over the next several days, but Tennessee basketball continues to give us something to talk about as well. We will hear Rick Barnes talk later today, and we'll hear from his newest assistant coach, Kim English, and a lot of people are saying really good things about Rick Barnes' latest hire, his newest staff member, Kim English, who played basketball at Missouri, played professionally for several years, and for the last 5 years or so has been an assistant coach. He's only 30 years old, but he is considered a maybe rising star in the coaching industry. As young as he is and now an assistant coach at Tennessee, right now you have a staff of Kim English going with Mike Schwartz and Desmond Oliver, and I think it can be a really good group. You lose somebody in Rob Lanier who is so well-respected. He's a former head coach. He's a head coach again now at Georgia State. That is a loss, no doubt. But Kim English is well-respected, and Mike Schwartz and Desmond Oliver are considered future head coaches in college basketball as well. Rick Barnes has a good staff, so we will hear from him and Kim English later today, as well as athletic director Philip Fulmer. Jalen Cohn is a point guard prospect in the 2020 class, and what's interesting about him is that Tennessee has recruited Cohn, and according to him, Tennessee has given him the option of reclassifying and coming in as a member of the 2019 class. Why is that interesting? Well, scholarship numbers are kind of tight for Tennessee. If Cone were to get a scholarship, that might indicate that Tennessee does not expect Jordan Bone to come back. Right now, I don't expect him to come back. I do think Bone could change his mind. He could have a change of heart. But when he declared for the draft and he talked to 247 Sports, Evan Daniels, I don't think there was any question that Bone's intention was to stay in the draft. And that might be how Tennessee's staff sees it. So let's see if Jalen Cone does decide to reclassify. But he's a player to pay attention to. If he arrives to play at Tennessee, if he announces soon that he's going to reclassify and be on Tennessee's basketball team next season, that might indicate that Tennessee is moving on at the point guard position and will let Lamonte Turner and Josiah James handle those duties this upcoming year and work Jalen Cone in as well as a part of their future at point guard, because Turner's going to be a senior coming up and Josiah James likely will not be a four-year player at Tennessee. If he is, then something probably went wrong. He's a big-time prospect. I don't know that he's a one-and-done guy, but there's a chance he's a two-and-done player. So Tennessee continues to recruit and plan for the future, and right now that future is likely to not include Jordan Bone. Looking at future NBA draft prospects, the latest mock draft from Gary Parish of CBS Sports has two Tennessee players in the first round. His mock draft only has the first round, but at number 23, Gary has Admiral Schofield being drafted, and then Grant Williams going number 26. Admiral, of course, has exhausted his eligibility. He can't come back. The bigger question is with Grant Williams, and I think there's a good chance that Grant will stay in the draft and be a first-round pick. It's not a lock. I don't think it's as sure of a thing with Grant as it is with Jordan Bone, but that's interesting to see Admiral up at number 23. He does have a chance to be a first-round pick, and if that happens, I think some people might say to Jordan Bone, hey, you know, a year ago, Admiral was not anywhere near the first round. He came back, and he's at least in the discussion. If Bone's not being talked about as a first-round pick, and you know, right now, I'm not hearing him with the second round. That can change, of course. But somebody's going to tell Jordan Bone, hey, you know, you can improve your stock. I think it just, with him, comes back to, does he want to go back to college, or is he just ready to be a pro and make money playing basketball? But interesting there, with Gary Parish, his latest mock draft has Admiral Schofield and Grant Williams both going in the first round of this upcoming NBA draft. And then SEC basketball news that I think caught some people off guard over the last couple of days. It started to trend this way, but LSU made it official Sunday night that Will Wade has been reinstated. He met with LSU officials. He denied any wrongdoing, despite the fact there is a report from Yahoo that came out several weeks ago saying that Will Wade was on a wiretap talking about making a strong bleeping offer to get Javonte Smart to LSU. So we'll see how this plays out. Does it mean absolutely that Will Wade will be the head coach at LSU? But it sure seems more likely now than it did 3 or 4 weeks ago. 3 or 4 weeks ago, all the talk was about LSU trying to get rid of Will Wade and probably trying to fire him for cause. Now he is reinstated, and he is the head coach at LSU after being suspended for the end of the regular season, the SEC tournament, and the NCAA tournament. LSU's keeping things interesting. You know, if LSU had just fired Will Wade and gone and tried to hire some other up-and-comer, LSU basketball doesn't get much attention. With Will Wade being reinstated, there will be plenty of attention on LSU basketball. So we'll see what happens there. We'll see how the NCAA handles it. The SEC is a football conference. I don't think anybody's going to dispute that. But man, SEC basketball keeps getting more interesting. And as news breaks, as stories develop with Tennessee, I'll be covering it right here. Same with the SEC as well. Locked On Vols is here 5 days a week as part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Go check out Locked On NFL as well. We are 9 days away from the NFL draft. They're doing mock draft you really want to check out on Locked On NFL. Keep spreading the word. Keep downloading and subscribing, rating and reviewing. Locked On Vols. Thanks so much for hanging out here today. I'll see you tomorrow.